Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kühne+Nagel podcast series, Shipping Insights. I'm your host, Sarah Vollmer, Vice President of Global Sea Logistics, Customer Engagement and Events at Kühne+Nagel. You and I are about to embark on an exciting journey through the world of sea freight. I've been fortunate enough to have a front row seat to this industry's ups and downs over the past two decades. Now it's my pleasure to bring to you the latest developments, innovations, and solutions in this dynamic industry. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just curious about logistics, get ready for enlightening conversations and expert insights in our latest episode. Let's dive into the fascinating world of sea freight together and welcome our latest guest. On today's episode, we're talking about Africa. Did you know Umbatu means together? Bet you didn't. Africa is an emerging market, and my very special guest here today with me is John Costigan, Senior Vice President of Sea Logistics for the Middle East and Africa. John, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. I know this is a bit of a daunting task for many folks, so I hope I won't put you through too much pain today. So, as I mentioned, we're talking about Africa, right, as a whole, and the African continent is becoming increasingly important in the logistics world. And we think that our listeners want to hear more about this, right? I think we often become laser focused on Asia Pacific, China, Southeast Asia, Vietnam, et cetera. And we really haven't been talking a whole lot about some of these other regions. And There's a lot to know about Africa. I think there's a lot of opportunities that are out there. And I think we just want to get a little bit more information out there about what the market is, what it's like, and also a little bit about what Kühne+Nagel is doing to drive these opportunities within the region.
Sure. Well, I suppose it's a big, big question. What is it like? I think one of the most important things from my perspective as I came to the role 2 years ago was really how immense the continent is. And again, unfortunately, I had a perception that it was a country. So you have this mindset it's just one country, where in reality, it's 54 countries.
Yeah.
And each country super diverse. Yeah, super different to each other, a lot of different requirements. I think that really opened my eyes up to the opportunity that was there. Yeah, we weren't particularly ingrained so well on a local perspective in many of these countries. We had a huge range of expertise, really within the business, but we never really leveraged or brought that together. So from an opportunity perspective, I think outside of just the Kühne+Nagel world, there's really a large volume that's there. There's a large piece of business that is, I wouldn't say untouched, but has really mm-hmm. not a firm structure that would have existed elsewhere in the world. Okay. I think the opportunity for us as Kühne+Nagel is to help provide some of that structure, not physical assets, because I'm not an asset owner, but we can really bring our expertise, we can really bring our systems, our processes, our compliance management to the fore.
Okay.
The opportunity for us is really in that space.
Okay. Interesting. So I think, but you know, I detect an Irish accent.
For sure.
For sure. Right. So tell us a little bit, how did you get to, you know, the region in the first place?
Well, I spent most of my time in Europe, obviously I'm Irish by origin. Most of my time in Kühne+Nagel has been in Ireland. And then after a while, I got the opportunity to move to Australia. So
okay.
I transitioned to Australia for 4 years. And then the opportunity arose to come back somewhere in the middle. And obviously Middle East and Africa being an ideal opportunity was perfect for me. I think since I was a kid, I had this extreme interest in Africa.
Okay.
So the role was really a perfect fit for me. I was always intrigued about it. Unfortunately, from the Ethiopia famine days is when it was so prevalent
right.
and everybody became aware of it. And that's when I was really super interested in the continent and everything it has to offer.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I figured our listeners, you know, might be wondering about your accent and how that plays into things. So I wanted to make sure we cleared that up for them. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, what makes the African market particularly special, in your opinion?
I suppose it's special on many fronts. It's from a diverse perspective. Again, it's each country is very, very specific. There's large opportunity in terms of customers, in terms of volume. And it's growing rapidly. I think the most important points that we could see is when we start really drilling into the details of the continent as part of our plan. So we've seen that there's GDP growth GDP growth pre-pandemic was above 5% on average for many of the countries.
Okay.
Really, really outstripping many of the other regions.
Right.
The population growth and the demographic is also incredible. Yeah. So we see a population growth up until 2030, potentially up to 1.1, 1.4 billion people. By 2050, up to 2.1 billion people, depending on the estimates you look at. And irrespective of the number, it's just phenomenal, the growth. Half of that population will be below the age of 25. So we see huge growing population, we have strong GDP growth, and then that's also supported with a lot of interest from our customers. Our customers, in our, particularly in our corporate account customers, are constantly challenging us of what can we offer for Africa, because they also see the opportunities. So I think it's not just a Kuehne+Nagel thing. I think the world is now starting to open up, see Africa as an opportunity and the next thing effectively. Of course, not now, but into the future.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, you know, my knowledge in my dealing with customers as well has really been about, you know, mining as an example in Africa. And I think that's, you know, probably what a lot of people are familiar with. But what are some of the other, you know, you just mentioned, you know, some of our key account customers and whatnot that are talking about Africa. What are some of the commodities or some of the products that, or industries as an example, that are looking to, you know, diverse into the African market?
So we see, of course, Africa on export has traditionally been commoditized. So you see a lot of cocoa, you see a lot of timber movements from Africa. However, it's definitely evolving. So Ethiopia, as a good example, has developed textile export industry and dedicated centralized production areas where they just specify on textiles.
Okay.
They've also done free trade agreements with the USA. So that's evolving quite rapidly from an export perspective. But import is where we see probably the larger change. Yeah, we see large engagement from our automotive industry.
They're
looking to expand onto that continent. We see a large expansion in our consumer customers, which traditionally would have been smaller, but really now looking to grow quite extensively. And that's all because of the developing middle class that's evolving on the continent. I mean, it really interesting. I was back in Nairobi in November, and I was really amazed to see Nairobi as a city. It's a city of, including the suburbs of 10 million people. I mean, I really never had any inclination that it was that type of size or that type of a market.
Right.
And in certain aspects, completely contrary to what my perception was.
Okay.
As a city. So I think it's really interesting to see the middle class growth there. And of course, that will drive consumer behavior.
Right. So you mentioned the perception, right? How do we change some of the perceptions, right? I mean, what are you doing? What can others be doing to actually kind of have that similar experience that you just did in Nairobi?
I think from my personal perspective, it's really about sharing the message. So we do constant presentations on the continent, really internally within Kuehne+Nagel. We also have a limited knowledge in some regions about the African continent. And it's really about sharing the message, exploring and providing clarity around what we can do in each country, what is in each country.
Right.
I think it's really about driving that message to our colleagues and also sharing with our customers. Our customers are also seeking information, seeking knowledge in these countries, and what we've put together in our region will facilitate that.
Okay. So we start talking about a little bit, you know, what is Kuehne+Nagel in Africa? You know, where are we within Africa, and how can we help build some of this perception really change some of the perception that's out there? Like, what are we doing on a more localized basis?
So probably a good place to start would be our historical context on the continent. So we've actually been on the continent for a long time, seven decades. I think it was 1954 was our first office set up in Joburg. And then part of this project was really interesting for me is that I managed to bring through relevant business units within Kuehne+Nagel, our project logistics team, or our emergency relief team, which have huge expertise in the market.
Yep.
You know, we've been on the ground actually for a long, long time.
So talk to me. So we talked a little bit about, you know, I guess the commodities or the industries, right, that are going in. But what are some of the other challenges, or better yet, let's rephrase it, opportunities that are out there for the African market, right? So what, infrastructure, compliance? Do you want to talk to our listeners a little bit about that and how we navigate those waters?
Yeah, the two key sort of challenges that we've seen is that what did we really want to provide for our customers, and what were the gaps that we really wanted to talk to? And one was visibility.
Okay.
Yeah, so a big challenge that our customers are constantly talking to us about visibility. Unfortunately, due to the physical infrastructures and the lack of EDI and the lack of connectivity for certain of the countries, it's a really big gap. So if it's an airline or sea freight carrier, there was a real challenge in getting the accurate information of where is that container, where is that shipment.
Okay.
And I think that was the first key point that we wanted to try and address. And the answer to that is really through our Africa Control Tower. So there, our team in Durban, constantly working on our operating systems, constantly updating operating systems, being fed by each of the satellite, let's call it, the customer care locations based in each country. The second really key component that we also wanted to address was the compliance piece. And I think that's perceptually a lot of the challenges that come with Africa. And really, I pose internally within the business initially, but okay, we deal in certain other countries that would also have a compliance challenge. And how do we address those challenges?
Absolutely.
In Central America, for example, or in Asia, we also have some challenges. And literally, what we wanted to do as part of this strategy was to take what we have as coming out, take our very strong compliance and our very strong ethical measures that we have, and replicate that, whether it's in Kununagel office or it's a partner office, into those stations.
Okay.
So it's really part of our solution is that we would support the development in Africa using our systems and processes, as I talked about earlier on, and to be able to show as best practice what we have in other countries and take that to each of these countries in Africa. And that's part of the key solution. So visibility and a very strong compliant offering is what we're trying to resolve.
Okay. All right. Two, you know, very easy things to do, right?
Yeah, very simple.
So, you know, with that, and, you know, you mentioned partners, and, you know, we're definitely, as a company as a whole, right, we're very much proud of the fact that we've got wholly owned offices around the world. So why would we use partners in certain countries in Africa?
Again, it's a very good question and something that we debated at length internally. And what we felt was for several instances, we had put up our own name above the door and we started our own operation. Mm-hmm. But we really needed local experts. Yeah, so this is what we believe is a hybrid model, which have the local experts in the relevant market, generally asset owners. So they would generally have haulage companies or they generally have warehousing facilities.
Right.
And then we would bring the systems, processes, and the control tower, TMS, and Kununagel network to the table. So we believe the hybrid model is the best model for us for the short to medium term. Ultimately, into the future, yes, we would potentially look to expand our own offices on site. However, initially, we feel the best opportunity for our customers and for ourselves is to have a true hybrid model.
Okay, interesting. So I'm a listener. Of course, I listen to my own podcasts. How could I not? You know, but I'm sitting here and I'm saying, wow, I want to know more. Like, how do I get into this market? How do I import, export, whatever it might be? What advice do you have for the world listening to this right now about navigating the African market?
Well, as a customer, if I put my customer
hat on,
I think the important thing is to really focus in on the relevant markets that you would really like to drive into. Of course, like everything, not do everything all at once.
Okay.
Maybe select a couple of key core markets. That's kind of what we did as a business. We started in two phases. We started off with, I would say, that some of the larger countries where the bigger critical mass was. And then we set those offices up. And then we moved to phase two, which was the smaller countries. So I guess to focus in on certain key areas that you believe will you have the best chance of success, build upon that and then expand further once you've done that. I think also selecting the right partners, that's also, to be honest with you, is a key to success. We went through 18 months of a process to get to here. Yeah, it's been a long process where we've had many, many engagements. We've had feet on the ground meetings with these people. And of course, the compliance piece is a big piece. You need to make sure that you do the proper due diligence, the proper people. We do our external vetting and verification for all of our suppliers. So it's not just a Kununagel sense check. We also have somebody externally vetting all of our partners. I think that's the two important things. Be careful.
Right.
About which markets you go into.
Yep.
And then also make sure you partner with the right people.
All right. Brilliant. Thanks for that. What have we not covered, John? What's next? Do you want to share any secrets with us? You know, what's on the horizon for Kununagel Africa? I don't want to get you in trouble, but you know I'm going to ask some of these questions.
Yeah, I think for us, where we would see is what a division I would kind of have, where we would be or where we'd like to get, is that we would have, if I could look back in, I don't know, 5 years time or 10 years time, I'd say, okay, we've been able to support our customers with an expanded growth on the continent in a good, compliant, ethical fashion. And that's kind of from the customer viewpoint. For us, as a business, I think it's also important that we give back. It's really important that we share our best practices and help build up the African continent. We help share with our partners, okay, how do we do this? How do we procure? What type of process works best? How to make something lean and efficient? And also support in regard to certain infrastructure requirements, where it be, again, I talk from a perspective of systems and processes, again, not massive based. But it's really important that we help build up that structure on the continent. So I think those will be the successes if we can help our customers establish themselves on the continent, help manufacturers from Africa get to the Kununaga world, and then really importantly, help build up, be it an own office or be it a partner office, their setup on the continent.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing some of your future here with us. We appreciate that. So with that, I'd like to thank John Costigan for joining me on our podcast today. We've been talking about Africa, what's going on, and more importantly, where are we going with that? It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, everybody.
So please be sure to follow us on LinkedIn and stay tuned for another episode of Kununaga's Shipping Insights, Sea Freight News, and Supply Chain Solutions. Till next time, everyone. Talk to you soon.